نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدى محمد، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech Himself, and Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the mischievousness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one can guide him. And I publicly bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deed except Allah. He is alone, he has no partners. And I publicly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam is his Rasul, his Abd, and his Nabi, his slave, his servant, his messenger, his prophet. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever be upon him. As to what follows, surely the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance, the sunnah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And the worst of all things in this dunya are newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter in this deen is an accursed innovation. And every accursed innovation is a going astray. And every going astray is in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graced the Muslims of this ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam to complete 30 days of fasting. We've completed this 30 days in full. And as the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said to his wives after leaving them, telling them that they were going to leave them for a month, when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa radaha asked him, "I thought you were going to stay for a month." He said, "A month has 29 days. But we've completed this fast in 30 days. And we're anxious to receive the ni'mah and the bounty for what we've done. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our niyat, our intention for the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our salawat in the daytime and in the night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after completing this great month, to accept all of our acts of benevolence like charity, the sadaqah, and every good act that we did, even if it was a smile to our brother and sister. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept everything that we wanted to do of good that we didn't do and we didn't get a chance to do. We will see these things with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَجِدُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will see these things with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His Quran and His glorious book, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. He says, the English translation of this is that you should complete the number of days, and that you should make takbir. وَتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You should make takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. This is the meaning of the ayah. The way that Allah has guided you to do it. La'allakum tashkurun. So that you will be thankful. We have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, as we already know, that all of us here, all of us at one time, were thinking things, doing things, even if we were born Muslim, that we shouldn't have been thinking of doing. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي هَدَانَا إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, the one who guided us to Islam. Even those who were born even those who were born from the womb of a Muslim woman, you too, along with those who converted to Islam, you should be thankful because you have also returned to Islam, because there's a great renaissance in the Ummah today. There's a revivalist movement. And most of us, probably the vast majority of us, are returning to Islam, even those of us who were born Muslim. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should remember Him and thank Him. As He says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me and I will remember you. Give thanks to me and don't disbelieve. But the Ummah, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, has fallen into a great tumultuous problem. The Muslims of the Ummah of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, have fallen into a great, great problem. There are diseases, not one, but many, that have plagued the Ummah of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And what we want to do in this brief khutbah, on this auspicious day, the day of Eid, we'd like to discuss what are those diseases, and we won't be able to talk about all of them, because there are too many that have befallen us. Now the Muslims are in intensive care. We are in the hospital of this dunya, and we are in intensive care situation, and visiting hours are limited. We have been plagued with all types of problems, maladies, illnesses, and we need to discuss how to get rid of those problems, how to cure ourselves of those diseases, those maladies, and those illnesses. The problems that we have are the same problems that the Muslims had in the days of old. But with the one exception is that the Muslims of today are living in a Jahiliyyah state. Even though we have Muslim countries, even though we have Islamic countries, every single one of them are Jahili. Every single one of them are Jahili. Whether it is Algeria, whether it is Saudi Arabia, whether it is Pakistan, why is it Jahili? It is Jahili because anything that is 99% Islam and 1% kufr, 1% shirk, 1% bid'ah is not Islamic. It has to be 100% Islam in order for us to be considered Islam. This is a disease that has plagued the Muslims, Jahiliyyah. And the difference between us and them, the people of the past, is that the Jahiliyyah is now thicker. The Jahiliyyah is now darker. The Jahiliyyah is now more intense. The Muslims have fallen into a great problem. But our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, on the authority of Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa radah, has given us the remedy for all of those particular things that we're talking about today. In two hadith, the first, قال الثوبان رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يوشك الأمم أن تداعى عليكم كما تداعى الأكل إلى قطعتها. فقال قائل ومن قلة نحن يومئذ؟ قال بل أنتم يومئذ كثير ولكنكم غفاء السيل. ولينزعن الله من عدوكم المهابة منكم وليقذفن الله في قلوبكم الوهن. فقال قائل يا رسول الله وما الوهن؟ قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the English translation of this is, the nations of the world are about to call each other and set you up, as though he's calling a diner, a person ready to eat, to deliver you and to eat you as though you were on a plate, on a platter, on a tray. It was then said, will it be because of the small number of us that day? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ. No, rather, you will be many. There will be multitudes of Muslims. Is this the problem? There will be multitudes of Muslims. 1/4 of the total population of the world. 1/4. Out of every 4 people, you'll find a Muslim. 1 billion people. He said, but you'll be like the foam on the river. And Allah will remove the fear of you, the Muslims, from the hearts of your enemy. He will remove the fear, because the kuffar used to fear the Muslims in the time of the Sahaba. One Sahaba used to go to a village. He used to fight in a battle, and thousands of people would be scared of him. One Muslim, they were afraid of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is one of the excellent superiorities of the Messenger of Allah. His enemies were afraid of him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has plagued the Muslims with a test, has befallen us a great test. And that test, part of it, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed, not will remove, he has removed the fear of the Jews, the fear of the Christians, the fear of the Hindus, the fear of the Sikhs, the fear of all types of mushrikun, the fear that they used to have of the Muslims. Allah removed it from their hearts. He removed it from their hearts. And he replaced in our hearts al-wahn. He put wahn in our hearts. And they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this wahn, O Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam? He said, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. Love of the dunya and hatred of death. The Muslims love the dunya now. This is a big disease, brothers and sisters. It's no doubt that the chief cause of this particular ailment that we have is the result of the love of the dunya. And it, part and parcel, is the cause of all disobedience and affliction that the Muslims have been plagued with. Look at how the Muslims have become greedy. Look at how the Muslims have become covetous. Covetous desires, only trying to please their nafs. The Muslims have become so greedy and so anxious for wealth. A description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Jews. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Yahud. وَلَا تَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسَ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You won't find anybody more greedy for this life, even more than the pagans, than those Yahudis. And this is the way the Muslims have become. We're greedy for this life. We want everything we can see with our eyes, everything we hear with our ears. Anything we can get our hands on, we want it. Dunya, 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 dunya. It doesn't make any difference what type of dunya it is. It can be the good of it or the bad of it. We become so greedy, we become gluttonous. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned, that one of the things we will see after his great generation, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, may Allah be pleased with all of them, is people will become fat. And the Muslims have become fat. We're sitting in chairs doing nothing. And we're clinging on to the earth. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Love for the dunya and a hatred for death. The Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, love death more than the kuffar love life. They love death more than the kuffar love life. The kuffar used to think they were insane the way they used to rush into battle. They loved it because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said that those individuals that died fi sabilillah, they would want to return back to this life because the reward that Allah has promised them, and do it over again, and over again, and over again, and over, and keep dying, and dying, and dying, and being killed in the way of Allah. But we're not like this today, brothers and sisters. We're not like this. We've been plagued with this great affliction of the love of the dunya. We don't want to spend on those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to spend on. We want to hold and cling onto these things that won't give us any benefit in the next life. And to this the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَاتَّقُوا الشُّحَّ فَإِنَّ الشُّحَّ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ سَفَكُوا دِمَاءَهُمْ وَاسْتَحَلُّوا مَحَارِمَهُمْ. Beware and take guard against الشُّحَّ, because الشُّحَّ destroyed those who were before you, as it incited them to shed blood and make lawful what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made unlawful. To make lawful what Allah and His Messenger alayhi salam has made unlawful. This is another plague that has befallen the Muslims. The Muslims are now taking on the attributes of the Yahud, of the Jews, making things lawful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made unlawful. Ash-shuh that is mentioned in this hadith, beloved brothers and sisters, breeds some of the most despicable vices in a human being. A person involved in ash-shuh becomes a lover of wealth. He becomes a lover of material things. 15 pairs of shoes, 20 pairs of shoes, 10, 15 coats, 400 khimars, 15 overgarments. Love, greed, extreme greed for the dunya. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in an authentic narration collected by Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, that the first room in a person's house is for himself. The second room is for his family. The third room is for his guests. And the fourth room is for a shaytan. This is an indication from the Messenger of Allah not to be extreme, not to be so greedy, not to be so wasteful. For surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His glorious book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love the extravagant. Ash-shuh is something that has plagued the Muslim ummah. Muslims, because of ash-shuh, because of pettiness, because of greed, because of an insatiable appetite to just get anything that we see and we hear, the Muslims become petty. The Muslims become selfish. The Muslims become egotistical. The Muslims become callous. And the Muslims become an abd, a worshipper of the dinar, a worshipper of the dirham, a worshipper of the yin, a worshipper of the pirsh, a worshipper of the dollar bill. This is a plague, brothers and sisters. This is a disease. And we need to know how to remedy this disease. We're an intensive care unit, brothers and sisters. As for making the halal or the haram halal, this has escalated to the point where the Muslims not only perform these acts, they fully know, are fully aware that these things are haram. The Muslims now are committing a shirk and inviting Muslims to commit the shirk with them. The Muslims now are murdering innocent human beings, whether Yahud, Nasara, or otherwise. The Muslims today are disrespecting their parents, cursing out their parents, beating their parents, stealing money from their parents. The Muslims today are believing in horoscopes and numerology, crystal ball gazing, palm reading, tarot card reading, tea leaf reading. The Muslims have been plagued with the accusation of adultery and fornication of pious, chaste Muslim women. The Muslims are falling into deep, deep waters of riba and don't even give one thought of buying a car on credit, buying a car on a note, getting a house on a mortgage. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has told us that there are so many branches of a riba, the least of them is like having sex with your own mother. The least of it is like having sex with your own mother. And the Muslims rush to get a car on a note. Well, this is one of the major sins. Nowadays, the Muslims have fallen even into drugs and alcohol. And it has even spread into the borders of the sacred cities of Mecca and Medina. And now you can turn on the TV in Mecca, Al-Mukarramah, in Al-Madina, and Nabawiyyah, Al-Tayyibah, and find on the television, in between the shows, say no to drugs. Say no to drugs, even in Mecca and Medina. The Muslims have committed so many blatant crimes because of something that we'll give the answer to, inshallah. The Muslim women are coming out of their homes dressed like the women of Jahiliyyah. Makeup, lipstick, perfume exuding from their bodies. While the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said that any woman who comes out of her house perfumed and the smell, the scent reaches the people, فَإِنَّهَا زَانِيَةٌ وَكُلَّ عَيْنَةٌ رَأَتْ زَانِيَةٌ. that she is a prostitute, fornicating, adulteress. And every eye that looks at her is also an adulterer. And that the smell, in another narration, of paradise, even though it's far reaching, she will not be able to even smell the fragrance of paradise. And you, the brothers, the men of the Ummah, have been plagued with the disease of becoming whips, becoming punks, becoming religious punks by allowing your wives to go out like that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, La yadkhulun al-jannah thalath, al-aqu bi walidain, wal-mudmin al-khamr, what they use. Three people won't go to Jannah. The person who disrespects their parents, which is a major sin. The person who gives into intoxication, which is a major sin. And at you, a pimp to go without overgone. A man allows wife to go without tomorrow. A man allows wife to go with a man who allows his wife with more. They do say you're going to Jannah. He goes to Paris. Because it's the sea, which he has a little. The only one that can hide it at the heart, the only sir. I mentioned in the synagogues of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is tayyib. Allah tabib. Allah the doctor. Allah subhanahu wa three times, he said, Allah declared haram for them the fat of the animals which died of a natural death. They sold them and they enjoined their price that they received for them. When Allah declared eating of a thing forbidden for anyone, he declares the price of the thing also forbidden. And so the Muslims, brothers and sisters, have adopted these descriptions of the Yahud. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the Jews, if the Messenger of Allah said three times to show emphasis, La'an Allahu ala al-Yahud, or La'an Allahu al-Yahud, Allah cursed the Jews, then what do you think is going to happen to anyone who adopts the same description, who adopts the same characteristics, those qualities and those attributes that the Yahud are being cursed for? What do you think is going to happen to the Muslims if they do the same thing? The Muslims have adopted these practices of the Yahud and Nasara. The Muslims have adopted the customs of the Yahud and the Nasara. The Muslims have adopted the mores and the cultures and the habits of the Yahud and Nasara. Even as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ سَلَكُوا جُحَرٍ ضَبٍ فَسَلَكْتَمُوهُ. قالوا اليهود والنصارى قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فمن أو فمن الناس. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said that you will surely follow the ways, the methodologies, the customs, the sunnah of the people who came before you, step by step, inch by inch, that if they were to go into the hole of a lizard, you will follow them straight into it. And then the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, who are they? Are they the Jews and the Christians? He said, who else? The Muslims, from the time they're born, from the time they come out of their mother's womb, to the time they die, they imitate the Jews and the Christians. In everything that we do, not some things, everything that the Christians and the Jews do, Muslims are doing this. From the time they're born to the time they die. The Muslims are taking their babies and they're doing the same thing that the Christians do. Instead of implementing the aqiqah, the Muslims have baby showers. Instead of having the walima, the Muslims have a wedding shower. Instead of burying the Muslim the way that the Muslims should be buried, the Muslims are burying the Muslims like the Jews and the Christians, following the coffin with candles, putting wreaths and tombstones on the grave. These things are haram, making the haram halal. So much so that my beloved daughter of 3 years of age, after teaching her the dua that the Messenger of Allah told us to say when we go past the graveyard of a kafir, Abshiru bin Nar, Abshiru bin Nar. The Prophet says, say to them, when you pass by them, say to them, may you have tidings of the hellfire. My 3-year-old daughter cannot distinguish the grave of the Muslim from the grave of the Kafir now, because in the cemetery, their graves look just like ours. So she says, Abshiru bin Nar, Abi. Abshiru bin Nar. And she doesn't even know she's saying this on the Muslim. because the Muslims are imitating the kuffar. We dress like them. We eat like them. We talk like them. We walk like them. And even to the point when the kuffar were allowed to come into Saudi Arabia and give victory to the Muslims. The Kuwaiti Muslims, some of them, named their children George Bush Abdullah. George Bush Abdul Kareem. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When Allah told the Jews not to fish on Yom al-Sabt, on Saturday, they tried to be devious. They tried to circumvent the direct order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They tried to get slick in common language. They set up nets and a trough so that when the tide would come up on Jum'ah, the fish would drop in it, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know. So the fish can come in it, proverbially speaking. We're not fishing. We're not there with the hooks. We're not there with the poles. We're not there with the nets on that day. No. But this is a trick trying to deceive Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deceives them. The Muslims have done the same thing. True case in point. Muslim calls my office at the masjid because in a fit of anger, not being able to control himself, he has now pronounced the last pronouncement on his wife. Irrevocable divorce. Bainuna Kubra. So he calls my office because he's a friend of mine. And he asked me, with a small fee attached to the inquiry, marry my wife and consummate it so I can have her back after you divorce her. Is this not the attribute of the Jews? Trying to circumvent the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when the third pronouncement is pronounced, the divorce is irrevocable. The only way you can get her back is to have her marry someone else and consummate it. And if she wants you back, then maybe. The Muslims are falling into the same plague, the same diseases as the Yahud. After this, the Muslim lands, when the Kuffar came, the Muslim lands being occupied by the Kuffar, we took on their culture. We took on their systems of economics. We took on their political system. So much so that right now, every single governmental system in the Muslim world has something of the system of the kuffar in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prophet said to us, which is the remedy for the sickness, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَةِ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صلت الله عليكم ظلا لا ينزعه حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. If you transact your business with Aina and hold the cow's tail and become content with employing yourselves with agriculture and abandon the jihad in the way of Allah, Allah will allow, Allah will permit your humiliation. صلت الله عليكم ظلا. Allah will allow. In this hadith, brothers and sisters, it is clear-cut explanation, and it shows the remedy that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has given us for the ills and diseases that has resulted from the love of the dunya and the hatred of death. The Muslims should take part of this remedy. We should take this medicine that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has given us, that he will not relieve us of it until we return to the deen. A'awda, rujur, a return ila al-kitabillahi wa sunnati nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to return to the book of Allah and the sunnah of our beloved Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and the way the companions understood and practiced it. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, dealing with Aina and holding on to the cow's tail. This is an example and represents holding on to the dunya and everything of it. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam attached to these statements. تَرَكْتُمْ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Abandoning the jihad. So much so now that the youth, the young men of the ummah, we're afraid to go out in jihad. The Muslims now have relegated and transferred jihad to only talking and giving money. And in most cases, we don't even do that. In most cases, we don't even give our money and we don't even talk. We're afraid. But the people of the past, they strove with all that they had. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them in exchange for them their lives, Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to debase us, brothers and sisters. If we don't return to the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to humiliate us. This is the sunnah of Allah. This is the sunnah of Allah. When the Muslims don't fight in jihad, when they don't even have the thought of fighting in jihad, let alone fighting, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that whoever dies not even having the thought, not even his nafs whispers to him and has a conversation with him and suggests to him the going in jihad, he dies on a branch of hypocrisy. He dies on a branch of nifaq. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. And you'll never ever find the sunnah of Allah changing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate us if we don't go in jihad. Fi sabilillah. With weapons. This is the jihad we're talking about. With weapons. Allah will degrade us. Allah will debase us. Allah will dishonor us. And Allah will shame us. Nowadays, the Muslims have not only abandoned the jihad or the thought of it, the Muslims have lied on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam by forging hadith and saying that he said it. Forging hadith and saying that he did it. One of those hadith that incites people to leave the jihad, the major jihad, is the famous forged, fabricated lie on the Messenger of Allah, probably by some weak, soft individual, that the Messenger of Allah and his companions returned from a battle, wounded, limping, bleeding, and then he said to them, as they say he said, and we know he didn't say it, because the scholars of hadith have verified the fabrication of this narration, now we're going to go to Al-Jihad Al-Akbar. And they looked at him, bleeding, wounded. And what is this, O Messenger of Allah? This is jihad on the nafs. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this hadith is the forged hadith, the worst type of hadith, and it incites the person, and makes the person think that jihad, the best jihad, is the jihad of nafs. No, brothers and sisters. The best jihad is the jihad where you fight on the battlefield, you die right there, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you one of the many rewards, which is putting your soul in the bellies of green birds and suspending them and hanging them around the throne of Allah. This is what we're talking about. And you can't get this sitting in your chair, giving a fatwa. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters in Islam, the Muslims have gone far, far astray. We haven't taken our medicine. And when we take the medicine, we don't take the medicine in the right dosage. The prescription says to take the medicine in the daytime, and we take it at night. The prescription says take it 3 times a day, and we take it 8 times a day. The prescription says that you use a teaspoon, and we use a tablespoon. And because of this, like in the example of the authentic narration of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the man came to him for a cure for the illness in his stomach, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, take honey. The man took the honey and came back and said, it doesn't work. وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Messenger of Allah speaks the truth. He said, take the honey. The man took the honey again and he returned. It does not work. The Messenger of Allah said, your stomach lies. The honey works and your stomach is a liar. We have to take the prescription at the right time, brothers and sisters. We have to take the prescription with the right dosage. But unfortunately, the Muslims don't even take the prescription. We don't even take the medicine. We throw the bottle into the glove compartment of our Islamic cars and drive through this dunya. Even though now the Muslims are being oppressed in the Philippines, even though the government there is trying to eradicate Islam, Allah is going to save us. if we stick to the remedy. Even though now the Muslims in Southeast Asia are unaware that Christian missionaries are moving into this fertile land that they call fertile land, rich in land for missionary work. The Muslims are unaware that this is happening. And the dawah that the Christians are going to plummet on the Muslims in that part of the world is not because they love you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. And the thing that the Christians and the Jews love most, they won't be pleased. They won't be happy, both Jew and Christian. Mother Teresa, don't think that she's trying to help you. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They won't be pleased until they turn you away from your deen and back to their deen or any other deen. They don't care. They don't care if you don't become a Christian or a Jew, as long as you are apostate. This is the reason why they're going to Southeast Asia. This is the reason why they're going to the Philippines. This is the reason why they're going to the Arakanian Muslims in Burma. This is the reason. The reason that Allah mentioned in the Quran. They won't be pleased until they turn you away from your deen. 140,000 Muslims leaving Arakan, going to the neighboring borders of Bangladesh. 140,000 Muslims a few months ago, fleeing because of the rapes of Muslim women and babies, burning homes. Why? It's because the kuffar don't love us, brothers and sisters, and because we hate death and we love this dunya. Even though now the Muslims have gone into an unholy alliance with the brothers of apes and swine, commonly known as the Jews. Those individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. And we said to them, be you apes. And Allah transformed them into apes. And as the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam's dear companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, when he asked about these Yahudis that were turned into apes and swine, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam said, they did not eat, they did not drink, they did not have sexual relationships with their wives and husbands, and then they became extinct. That they were actually transmuted. Not figuratively, not metaphorically. These are the people, the brothers of those individuals that we're dealing with today. The same individual that goes into a masjid, sitting there waiting for the Muslims to come into Jumu'ah, and then shoots them, hundreds of Muslims, 50 at least dying on the masjid floor or in a hospital. So the Muslims now have gone into an unholy alliance. The Muslims now have gone into a pact, a contract called the Cairo document, which makes it clear, at least to me, and it should make it clear to you, that this so-called Israel and these so-called Israelis will still have the final say, will still have the final decision on who will enter Gaza, on who will enter Jericho. And the Muslims, following the sunan of those people who the Prophet says, shibran bi shibran, dira'an bi dira'an, step by step, inch by inch, that if they were to go into a lizard's hole, we would follow them straight into it. This pact, among other things, allows the so-called Israelis, to investigate people's homes at will, to stop people on the border crossing, and strip search Muslim men and women at will. نسأل الله العافية في الدنيا والآخرة. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us protection in this life and the next. Now the Muslims have reached the point, because of the height of the disease, because of the height of the fever, the Muslims are now to the point, brothers and sisters in Islam, may Allah heal us. May Allah heal us. The Muslims have gotten to the point now where we have long discussions whether the Jews or Christians are kuffar or not. The Muslims have gotten to the point that we have long discussions. Are they kuffar? Should we call them kuffar? No, they're Ahlul Kitab. When no one in the time of the Sahaba even gave a thought to something like this. All of them knew. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the worst of preachers. Those who disbelieve, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية. Surely those who disbelieve of the Ahl Kitab and the Mushrikun, they shall be in the hellfire forever. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, now the dunya, the fire of this life, of the dunya, تستعيذ بالله من النار آخرة, seek refuge with the fire of the next life. The fire in this life, seek refuge with the fire, with Allah, from the fire of the next life. This is the fire that those Yahudis and Nasara will be in. And the Muslims have the nerve to sit down and have a discussion on whether they're kuffar or not. The Muslims now have long debates and heated arguments over whether we should sit on television shows, radio programs, college campus lectures with Louis Farrakhan and John Henry Clark. For those of you who don't know who Farrakhan is the same individual that says that the one who you just prayed to has a father named Alfonso, and Allah's mother is Baby G. This is what this man that you're trying to sit with, that you're jumping on the fastest plane to sit with in a dialogue, this is what he's saying about your Lord, Rabbul Alameen, that Allah was born in the Caucasus Mountains in Europe from a man named Alfonso and a white woman named Baby G. And as for John Henry Clark, we're rushing to sit with people like him. لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. May Allah curse the kuffar. This is the same individual who just last week, and you have the nerve to sit on the same radio station program with this individual and not stop him, if not punch him in his jaw. This is the same individual who last week said that the Prophet Muhammad was a child molester. And these are the people who we want to have interfaith dialogue with. The Muslims have a disease. And the only way we can take care of this disease is tarji'u ila dinikum. You return to your deen. The Muslims are now living in a situation. We live in a time now, brothers and sisters, in which the Muslims are standing in churches, standing in synagogues, standing in Hindu and Sikh temples, holding hands in a circle, or a square, or a triangle, or whatever, and making dua. Oh Allah, bless the United States of America. Is this not a disease? Of course it's a disease. Something that the people of all would never have done. Can you imagine Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma? Can you imagine these individuals, these illustrious individuals, may Allah be pleased with them all, going to the masjid of Al-Musaylimah Al-Kadhab? Al-Musaylimah the liar, the one who while the Prophet was alive, he had the audacity. He had the audacity. While the Messenger of Allah was alive, he couldn't even wait till he died. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he said that he was a messenger also. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa salam, when he sent him a letter, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, As-salamu ala man ittaba' al-huda, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace be on those who follow the right guidance. From Muhammad, Rasulullah, ila al-Musaylimah, al-Kazzab. From Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, to al-Musaylimah, the great, extreme, chronic liar. Can you imagine the Muslims praying in that masjid, brothers and sisters? Can you imagine the Muslims standing next to him, saying, I'm okay, you're okay? I think not. Brothers and sisters, we have illnesses. We need to get out of intensive care, brothers and sisters. The Muslims are falling deeply into a coma. And this is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us the cure. لَا يَنْزِعُهُ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Allah will not relieve us of these diseases until we return to our deen. Then, and only then, brothers and sisters, will Allah relieve us. Only when we return to the unique antidote, only when we return to that unique cure, only when we return to the deen of Islam, will our honor and our majesty and our might and our dignity and our greatness and power in the land return to us. Just like the people who were before us. The people who were empowered before us, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, بشر هذه الأمة بالثناء والرفعة والدين والنصر والتمكين في الأرض. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inform this ummah of glad tidings of the sublimity of the greatness and the excellence of rank and the deen and victory and strong position in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has Prophet has mentioned this. And then he said, فَمَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْهُمْ عَمَلَ الْآخِرَةِ بِالدُّنْيَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ نَصِيبٍ. But for any of the individuals among them who do actions that would allow them to go to Jannah, but they do it for the acquisition of the dunya, actions that would make them eligible to go to the Jannah of Allah, but they do it for the dunya, مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ نَصِيبًا. They don't get any portion in the next life. He's talking about the Muslimun. He's talking about the Muslims, brothers and sisters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the tongue of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, has given us the method of restoration, brothers and sisters. He's given us the path of reparation. He's given us the modality of revitalization. And that is to return to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To return to the Quran and the authenticated sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. To return to the understanding and practice of that sunnah by the companions of the Messenger of Allah. To abandon taqleed, abandon blind following of Abi Hanifa, of Imam Malik, of Imam Shafi'i, of Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. To follow only that which was revealed to Allah, to reveal to the Messenger of Allah from Allah, and how the companions understood it and practiced it. To abandon these type of rational and logical thinking. To abandon using improper techniques and methods for making tafsir of Quran. Abandon using our personal feelings, our own caprice and our own whims. Abandon scientific and historical and actual facts, placing them over the verses of the Quran and the authenticated sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This deen, brothers and sisters, is a ni'mah. This is a ni'mah from Allah. It's a bounty on the ummah. A ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever erase. This is a ni'mah, a bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never efface. He will never remove this ni'mah. He will never ever, brothers and sisters, remove this bounty that He has given us or change it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves that we take His ni'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, in a very misunderstood verse of Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely Allah will not change the state of the people as long as they do not change the state of conditions themselves. This verse is misunderstood, brothers and sisters. This verse we hear on the tongues of the imams around the world, and especially in the United States, and on every common Muslim. We use this ayah of Quran in the wrong context. We use this ayah of Quran when we can't get our plumbing fixed in the masjid, when the ceiling is falling. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. But listen to the real meaning of the ayah, brothers and sisters. The real meaning of the ayah is explained by another ayah where Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُوا مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَى قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever change this bounty. He will never ever change this grace. He will never ever change this honor. He will never ever change this dignity. He will never ever change this high status of rank of excellence and sublimity where the Muslims had in the days of old, in the days of Medina, in the days of Egypt, in the days of Al-Andalus. He will never change it. That ni'mah that He has given us until we change it ourselves. This is the meaning of the ayah, brothers and sisters. That Allah has given you this great bounty and He leaves it with you. He allows you to practice it and to enjoy it and to taste the sweetness of it. And then if you change it by having a strong love for the dunya and a hatred for death and imitating the kuffar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes it. This is the meaning of the ayah and Allah knows best. So what is the reason Allah changes this great ni'mah from us? The reason is because we have left our deen. But some of us may say, but I'm a Muslim. I haven't left my deen. Why do I have to return to the deen? Inshallah, in conclusion of this khutbah, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to explain it so that you will go home with the niyyah in your chest that I have to return to the deen of Islam. Because of our love of the dunya, brothers and sisters, holding with the strength of mighty bulls, holding with the strength of mighty camels, the love of the dunya tenaciously clinging to the earth and abandoning fighting in jihad. These are the reasons, brothers. These are the reasons of my beloved sisters in Islam. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed his ni'mah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَى قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ. That is because Allah will never change this ni'mah that He has given as a bounty for people until they change it for themselves. Until they change it themselves. Sisters, you should be inciting your husband, inciting your son to learn the techniques, the conditions, and the principles of jihad. And you should prepare yourself to get another husband and that he won't come back. You should be preparing yourself. A day, you should hope for a day that you become a widow. You should pray for a day that you become a widow. You should encourage your husband to go out vis-a-vis-a-vis-a-vis when the conditions are met. By not doing this, brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do exactly what He says. And you will not find Allah changing His sunnah. You will not find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changing His sunnah. So now, brothers and sisters, we're in a condition of humiliation. The Muslim ummah is in a condition of wretchedness. The Muslim ummah is in a condition of subservience. The Muslim ummah are paying the jizya to the kuffar. The Muslim ummah are paying a jizya, protection money, to the kuffar. The Muslim ummah is making tawaf around the White House. Instead of going around the Kaaba, we're going around the White House. So much so that our brothers in Islam in the country of Saudi Arabia, from one of the statements of the officials there, after spending $6 billion for 50 planes that will give 120,000 Americans jobs, one of them had the nerve to say that this purchase will strengthen the economic bond between Saudi Arabia and the United States. And the Clinton administration will be more likely to succumb to the kingdom's defense in any future scenario threatening the continued rule of the royal family. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to return to the deen. Because we only receive our assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because we don't help Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not help us. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will help you and establish your feet firmly. Meaning, if you carry out what Allah has ordered you to do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you nusra. He will grant you victory over your enemies. So returning to the deen, brothers and sisters, is the remedy for the diseases and the maladies that have befallen the ummah. But some of us again might say, what is returning to the deen? I'm already a Muslim. What does it mean to return to the deen? The deen, brothers and sisters, and the return to it is to listen attentively to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, bringing the explanation from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, following the example of our illustrious companions and how they understood and practiced it, and not deviating from that path. This is what is meant by returning to the deen of Islam. As Imam Malik, Imam Darul Hijra, radiallahu anhu said, that whatever was the deen then, is the deen now. And whatever isn't the deen, wasn't the deen then, is not the deen now. So if the Muslims want to know what is the deen and how do we return to it, if we want to know how to return to the deen and how the Muslims understood their aqidah, how they understood and practiced their ibadah, how they perform their acts of morality, then we must go back to that period that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of people are my generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, we have to remember that it is obligatory for us to return to this deen. In order for us to have this humiliation and this degradation and this shame removed from us, we have to return to the deen. We have to take the prescription. We have to get out of this coma. We have to get out of this intensive care. We have to get out of the situation, brothers and sisters, that we have been plagued with. Because ignorance, brothers and sisters, is a disease. And we the Muslims have exchanged knowledge for ignorance. We've exchanged harboring good thoughts, which now turns into accusation. We have exchanged acting with care for acting rash and harsh. Brotherhood has now turned into its opposite. Submitting to the truth turns to rejection. The Muslims now have become so ignorant in rejecting the truth that when a clear-cut hadith authenticated by the scholars of hadith comes to them, they would rather take the statement of an imam or a sheikh whose turban may be glowing in the dark than the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to avoid bigotry and racism, which has now turned into fanaticism. We have to now exchange the loyalty that we have given to the kuffar and bring the loyalty back to the Muslimun, because the Muslims have made allegiance with the kuffar and we hate the Muslims. Listening to advice has now returned into refusal, and accepting proof has turned into blind following. So brothers and sisters in Islam, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our feet firm on the Sirat al-Mustaqeem. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us lovers of the sunnah of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, and the sunnah of our rightly guided predecessors, those individuals who preceded us in piety and righteousness and knowledge of the true understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and keep our first feet firm on Surat al-Mustaqeem. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَّسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكنن من الخاسرين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.